Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Selling smoothies is what I do, but for small business insurance, I chose my State Farm agent. He's a small business owner, too, so he knew how to help me personalize my policies. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.
All right, welcome to Bet the Edge. I'm Jay Croucher here with Drew Dinsick, recording Monday afternoon. Today we're going to talk NBA, talk about the games coming up on Tuesday and the Timberwolves advancing, and then we'll talk a little Champions League and wrap with some Kentucky Derby. But let's start off with basketball. Drew, the Timberwolves stomp the Suns 4-0. They progress. They'll play the Denver Nuggets, likely. As we're recording, we don't know the outcome of Game 5 Lakers-Nuggets, but that is very likely the matchup. What do you think of the upside of this Timberwolves team? And if what kind of price would you be looking to bet them against the Nuggets?
Well, just running my numbers on that series, it's going to be Timberwolves or pass for me. I kind of feel like the market's going to give you something in the 250 range for the Nuggets with home court in that one, assuming let's clarify. I'm assuming that the Nuggets get through in five. They are 7-point favorites tonight. So without like a huge disparity in terms of rest, I think the market's going to be very favorable Nuggets just based on the way the future book is painted right now. And I think my fare is closer to minus 180, plus 180 with the Nuggets at full strength. And, you know, there are some questions about Jamal Murray's knee that I'm kind of mostly curious to see how he plays. And if he's, you know, fully at 100%, if he is, then I think the market's going to be pretty hot on the Nuggets. And I'm going to have a decent size bet probably on the Timberwolves, because I think that's going to be a very competitive series. I mean, what you saw from the Timberwolves in the Suns series, I thought was very instructive in terms of how much defensive flexibility that team has. We knew they were the best defense in basketball. Like, you got 82 game sample that tells you that. We know that Rudy Gobert is one of the currently, if not the clearly the best individual defensive contributor, and the fact that they were able to kind of utilize him in an area where, you know, they specifically were expected to get beaten by the Suns was pretty noteworthy, I thought. The switching was awesome. The disciplined disciplined rotations from the Timberwolves defensive players in some of the key moments of the Suns games were just, it was a thing of beauty. And Anthony Edwards is easy to cheer for. He is brings such incredible energy just to the game in general. And I think it's not clear to me that the Nuggets have the defensive answers to keep the Timberwolves offense from just rolling the way it is right now. I think there are definitely some questions in my back of my mind about some of the, you know, players 4 through 7 from the Timberwolves and what their, you know, their role and contributions are going to be in this series. But I don't know. I give the Timberwolves a decent chance. I don't think that the Nuggets are the super team that they were kind of, you know, are kind of currently made out to be by the market. And while yes, they will have the best player, maybe the two best players in the series, I'll just say the best. I think it's pretty clear that Anthony Edwards is better than even a fully healthy Jamal Murray. But I think Jokic is a tough matchup, surely, but they have exactly the right kind of players to really make Minnesota hurt. And who's the matchup for Karl Anthony Towns in this series, Jay? Aaron Gordon's going to be able to defend him on the perimeter. That'll be interesting to see. And I think ultimately, it'll be a fun one, assuming that Chris Finch is fully healthy and engaged, assuming that Jamal Murray is 100%.
Yeah, it is strange how the Nuggets are just kind of accepted as this juggernaut, and the Twitter masses all think that the Nuggets are going to roll the Celtics in the finals. Like, this Nuggets team this year, they have a +5.5 net rating. Last year, they were +3.3, though that was kind of infected by them taking the last 6 weeks of the season off. And then they stormed through the playoffs, and it was impressive, and you can only bet who's in front of you, et cetera, et cetera. But it's not like they really beat anyone. Ultra impressive in the playoffs last year. So I think that I think last year people were underrating exactly how good the Nuggets were just because of how much of an uplift they were going to get in the playoffs, where they could just excise the kind of poisoned members of their rotation and just focus on, you know, the top six who were incredible all season. Now I think this year there's a massive overcorrection where people are talking about the Nuggets as just fait accompli to come out of the West and then play the Celtics in the finals. And I don't know, like, I'm not sure. Like, I think the Nuggets are better than the Wolves, the Mavs, and the Thunder, but I don't view them as a clear tier above those teams. I view them as probably the top of the same tier as those teams. And now they're going to get a Wolves matchup. The Wolves are famously the team that gives them the most problems. And they have the best defense. They have the best answer in the league for Jokic, which is having Gobert and Towns kind of their two-man game on defense against Jokic, and just all the size and the swiping down around him. I know he was incredible in that regular season matchup, the final week of the season, but like, he just doesn't seem as comfortable against Minnesota, which makes sense as they have the best defense in the league. And it's not just Gobert. It's the fact that McDaniels and Ant are there, Nikhil Alexander-Walker when he comes in the game. I think the question is just whether Minnesota can score enough. And if you believe in the Wolves, the hope would be that just having Edwards, Cat, and Conley just gives you a certain raised floor on offense where the defense is going to be enough to take over. The defense will get them out in transition and they can just kind of out-athlete the Nuggets and out-size them in a way, which is strange because Denver's also massive. So I think it's going to come down to that. I think it'll come down to whether Ant can, you know, play like a plus six, plus seven player in the series, which he may well have in him, but wouldn't bet on it. But I think I was thinking that the market would open like Nuggets minus 190, minus 200. Maybe they get the championship tax on top of that and it is more like minus 250. But if it is minus 250, then the other side, the Wolves, would be the bet for me, certainly.
Yep.
All right.
Just one real quick note. This was a round one series last year. And let's not forget, there was a lot of Austin Rivers in that series. There was a lot of Jalen Noel in that series. There was a lot of Torian Prince in that series. There was no Naz Reid, and there was
No
Jaden McDaniels. I think that matters.
Yeah, it does. At the same time, I kind of want to see a little more Nikhil Alexander-Walker. Jaden just makes me nervous on offense. Like, he just 33% three-point shooter, and every time he puts the ball on the floor, it feels like something bad happens. Or I just don't think he's the most cerebral player on offense. You know, it's not a really controversial take. Just like Nikhil, it just gives him a bit more ball handling. He's been a 39% three-point shooter for the past 2 years. He's not the defender that McDaniels is, but he's still a really good defender. So I wonder if they end up leaning on that a little bit if the offense is a bit gummed up. Speaking of offense gummed up, Sixers next, which is my favorite series of recent vintage. I just love watching these games. I love watching Josh Hart. We're talking about my Knicks adoration at length yesterday. But the Knicks are 3.5-point favorites, 4-point favorites most spots against the Sixers. In game five, where they can close it out, the total is a lowly 203.5. I think the sneaky thing about this series now, Drew, is that every other game, and we'll see how many of them there are left, there's only one day between games now. Yeah. And I think that would lean advantage Knicks, given the state that Joel Embiid appears to be in.
Yep. And I think, I don't remember if we brought this up yesterday in perfect clarity, but now with a little bit of time to reflect, his fourth quarter woes being related to, you know, just physical fitness, I think is pretty likely. And, you know, I like that Tom Thibodeau is pushing some buttons and really making him work hard specifically in the early going of the game so that in the fourth quarter, he's less effective. And I honestly don't know what the Sixers do to counter that. There's no, the two-man game between Maxey and Embiid is special, but everything else that they're trying to do offensively just feels like it's a really heavy lift. It is a slog. They are struggling. No one is really able to create anything besides what you're getting out of those two players. And the more this becomes, it's just such a narrow focus for the Sixers, the more trouble they're in. I will say that just in general, you know, their Sixers are well coached. They're going to have a different approach, different plan. I don't think it's going to be, we dare Jalen Brunson to beat us again, because at home, I think he will. But ultimately, I think the Sixers are in deep, deep trouble. It is very, very rare for a team down 3-1 without home court to be able to come back in a best of seven series. And I think your points about the rest being a huge factor are extremely relevant. The Knicks might need one more to get it done. But I think 3.5 bet out to 4 at a couple of the sharper shops is perfectly correct. And it is a very realistic expectation that the Knicks can punch their ticket to the next round on Tuesday.
Yep. Part of me feels bad for Embiid because, you know, he's dealing with, the Bell's palsy. He's got the knee issue. He's clearly he's not right. At the same time, another part of me feels like that, you know, health is a skill in a manner, and he does, and also stamina is a skill. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to pass exactly, you know, what is ailing him precisely, and whether it is the knee in these fourth quarters, whether it's stamina. At the same time, like, he has never really been a high effort, high stamina player to my mind. Like, he exerts his energy when he has the ball in his hands. And the fact that, like, he's just not boxing out for these rebounds, and the fact that he's blaming it, these offensive rebounds, on lucky bounces for the Knicks, I think maybe shed some light on, you know, what's going on there. And I just, it doesn't feel like he is going to be able to get to that game 3 level 3 more times for the Sixers to come back and win this one. And to your point, I think it's been twice in the past 30 years that a team has come back from 3-1 without having two of the last three at home. And one of those was the Cavs in the finals against the Warriors, where Draymond got suspended for that key game 5. So, yeah, I mean, the Sixers, they're up. They arguably have the talent advantage, but everything else is stacked up against them. And I think that with Brunson rediscovering himself, the Knicks, they should take care of business in game 5, and if not, certainly they'd be favorites to close it out in 6 or 7 with two more cracks.
Next time you're feeling bad about Embiid, just let me know and I'll send you the supercut of all the dirty stuff he's been doing in this series, because
I don't feel sorry for Embiid. Like, every single season he doesn't show up in the playoffs, and whether that's and I feel like some of that is just on him, and the stuff that Doc Rivers has said now that Doc Rivers is out of Philadelphia about Embiid, I think is enlightening. Where this guy just doesn't play as hard as Jokic or Giannis. And you just don't think it's hard to say he doesn't belong in that class. Like, he's one of the three best players on the planet, I think. But it seems like he has more low-hanging fruit to get better that those guys have already gobbled up and he hasn't. And I think that's part of the reason why his team is down 3-1. And look, his team just doesn't play as hard as the Knicks. And it's going to be glorious if the Knicks can close this out. A series completely devoid of glory is Magic Cavs. Cavs 4.5-point favorites in game 5. Total is 200.5. This Cavs team is just absolutely gutless. After they got completely punked by the Knicks last year, you would think that they would show some heart, some backbone against the pretty ordinary Orlando Magic team, all things being considered. They didn't. No backbone in the games in Orlando, just completely melted. I think they are going to win and cover this game back at home. Gutless teams tend to play better with comfortable home surrounds. I think they will take care of business here, but wouldn't be surprised at all if they roll over either. Any bet on this game for you?
No, but I agree. The Cavaliers are gutless. That's 3. I'd love to see them show any type of kind of fire spirit. They realize this is a playoff series, right? And I, you know, the best player in the series is still Donovan Mitchell. The second half of game 4 for the Cavs was like, at the end of the day, loss is a loss. If it's a buzzer beater or if it's literally your entire team decides to take a half off, it kind of doesn't matter. But that was one of the sort of losses that really does, you know, kind of make you question how much fight are in these guys. If they do get punched in the mouth in the first quarter, in the first half of this game, are they going to get off the mat? And I don't know that I feel super confident about that anymore. We're back to pre-series price. This is, you know, Cavs minus 190 to win out, you know, to win out with two home games where they're going to be favored by 4.5 points. And I am kind of cautiously dreading this game 5 because it's it feels like there's going to be a pivotal moment because the Magic now they're in it, right? There's no more, this is our first playoff series kind of, you know, what happens if all the questions are answered. They avoided the key kind of death blow of what a Jalen Suggs kind of meaningful injury would have meant to this team, because they'd have no other guard depth. Their key, the Franz Wagner's overall 2023-24 campaign was a I don't want to use the word disaster, but it was a step backwards.
Like everything else,
step backwards. I guess his shooting was just off all year, Ben. But like, rather than just shoot through it and try to, you know, kind of hope for some shooting variance into the good, he's being much more aggressive, and it's obviously really, really helping. I think the Magic find some flow and some rhythm on offense, which otherwise just was not existing in game one and game two. Can't say the same for Evan Mobley. I'm not feeling at all like his, he feels invisible way too often. This feels like the two most important players for the Cavs are Donovan Mitchell and Jared Allen. And I honestly can't believe I'm saying this considering how I felt about the Cavs before we started the series. I just thought they were the clearly better team with the best player in the home court, and this was going to be relatively straightforward. And now I just am kind of dreading how this is going to break, because I have a bunch of Cavs and I could get off of it now for a small loss. And I think I'm riding it out, and I don't feel good about it.
Yeah, I have a lot of Cavs as well from pre-game one, and it's the emotional experience of watching this team. If the Knicks are 100 on the positive scale, this team is about a zero. No faith whatsoever that this team is going to show up, but still, talent advantage is still, I think, pretty significant, and they got two of the last three at home. So I'm expecting they'll take care of business, but wouldn't be surprised if they completely melt, as is their nature, come playoff time. Let's close out quickly with Pacers, Bucks. Pacers 3.5-point favorites at Milwaukee Tuesday night in game five. The total is 216.5. It's a little difficult to talk about this game just with, maybe there's not uncertainty about Lillard and Giannis. I just don't think they're going to play. Lillard is doing underwater running. Giannis is like running for the first time since his injury. Maybe they risk it, but I mean, just being 3-1 down in the series, the fact that both of them are injured, which kind of means that like the season is probably done anyway, even if one of them can get back. I don't think there's really an angle into this one, but what do you think?
I think Giannis plays, and I bet some Bucks money line. +140 if you can get it. I think put it in your pocket. I think Giannis is going to go, and I think the Bucks can beat the Pacers here, and the Pacers probably close it out in six. I don't expect that Giannis coming back is going to have as much of the rust issues that some of the other players we have seen who kind of returned from lengthy absences at the end of the season showed. Embiid is a good example. Brandon Ingram is a good example. Cat to a degree was an example, at least at the end of the regular season. The style of play that Giannis plays with, I don't think is necessarily as susceptible to rust as somebody who relies pretty heavily on a rhythm and an outside shooting opportunities. So I think Giannis is going to be back. I think he's going to be fine. I think the Bucks get this win. I'll be honest, I'm gambling. I don't have any inside information. I feel like every time I've assumed Giannis was too hurt to come back, he surprised me to the good. So I'm kind of banking on that.
Yep. I mean, price dependent, but if Giannis gets ruled in, I may be betting the Bucks to win the East, because there is so much upside with this team. Like the Pacers, and obviously like the price has to make sense. You have to math out what the money lines will be in the remaining three games of this series, what the price would be against the Knicks, and then what the price would likely be against the Celtics. And that's where it gets really kind of complicated. But this Pacers team just isn't very good. I think if Giannis can go, the Bucks can beat them three times with two of those games at home. And then I think that may buy enough time for Dame as well. And I think that the Knicks, like if the Bucks are at full strength, even without home court, they'll be favored over the Knicks in round two if Giannis is full go. And then you've got, you know, the Boston series, which there's a problem. But I mean, right now they're like 50-1 to win the East, that type of range. And I think they are still the second best team in the East when fully healthy. All right. This Sunday, Liverpool and Tottenham face off in a must-win match as time is running out on the Premier League season. Can the Reds keep pace atop the table? Can Spurs make a late push into the top four? Find out at 11:30 a.m. Eastern, exclusively on Peacock.
I know how to run a hair salon, but for small business insurance, I chose my State Farm agent. She's a small business owner too, so she knew how to help me personalize my policies. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.
The Premier League is built on hope. The hope of discovering a new star.
It doesn't take long for Darwin Nunez to make an impression.
The hope of rewriting history.
Leaves his calling card.
And the hope of continuing a dynasty.
Unstoppable week after week.
This is the Premier League on NBC, USA and Peacock.
All right, Champions League semi-finals. We can race through these two. It's largely due to my sadness that Man City and Barcelona, my two horses in this competition, both knocked out in inglorious fashion. I will never forgive Ronald Araujo for his stupid red card against PSG. You're up 4-2 in the tie, Ronald. All you need to do is not get red carded, and you're fine. Just let him waltz in and score a goal and just be up 4-3 in the time, be 11-11 again at home. But anyway, the four remaining teams, Bayern, Real, Dortmund and PSG, Madrid -185 to advance, and then PSG are -270 to advance. Real Madrid, the favourites to win it all at +140 range. Any opinions about the Champions League ties Tuesday, Wednesday?
Well, riding out some PSG to make the final, so needing them not to do something stupid, which means I should probably just go ahead and bet Dortmund to advance, because that's kind of the way it's going for me. But no, I don't exactly understand how Dortmund is here. Congratulations to them, I suppose. But you watch a lot more Ligue 1 than I do, so I'll kind of defer to your opinion on what PSG is right now. But to me, they look like the better team, and they are probably going through. Real Madrid, I also agree, should be favored, although I can't get to -185. I think there's a pretty narrow gap between these two teams, even though Bayern Munich has kind of had a down year, a little bit of an off year by their standards. So, I think that'll be a competitive home in a way. And I think Real probably comes through, but, I'm just riding out PSG to get there. And at that point, I think you have elite talent with, Mbappe on the field at all times. And, that might be enough to ultimately lift the trophy this year.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that one, Dortmund, their squad valuation on Transfermarkt is 470 million euros, and PSG's is over a billion euros. So there's just a gulf in terms of talent. I think that PSG are much more well coached as well, with Luis Enrique, who I think is one of the best coaches in the world, versus Edin Terzic, who does not fill me with any confidence whatsoever after his team completely gacked away the Bundesliga last year on the final day in one of the greatest meltdowns in sporting history. He had prepared his players that they were so nervous that they like literally could not pass the ball sideways. It was like they were playing on ice instead of grass. They were so nervous against the bottom feeder to win the title, and then they gacked it away. So I think the PSG certainly justify their price. I think with Bayern, they're not going to win the Bundesliga for the first time in 12 years, and they're 12 points behind Leverkusen, which makes it seem like the season is a disaster. By expected goals and expected points, they should be 5 points up on Leverkusen. I think they've just largely gotten unlucky, and Leverkusen kind of punked them in the head-to-head matchup, and that sticks in the memory. But this is still a very good Bayern team. They're just probably not quite as good as Real Madrid. So I think that the prices are justified there.
Did you know that Real Madrid, Bayern Munich is the most commonly contested Champions League head-to-head rivalry of anything in the history of the Champions League? I am just learning this, reading about it now, but 26 meetings and 24 of them in the knockout stage. This is a lot of history here.
Imagine
pretty even history.
Madrid has the upper hand in the
Madrid is 12, 11, and 3.
Okay.
Three draws.
So yep. they have the upper hand, I guess. Yeah, I mean, they're the two, like, it's the best team in Spain historically against the best team in Germany. And they're still, I mean, at the top of their powers. Like, Madrid's probably the second or third best team in the world right now. Bayern's probably fourth or fifth. So I suspect that, I mean, here's the thing. It's like PSG are not drawing dead in the final whatsoever. I think that would be dogs to either team, certainly to Real Madrid, probably slight dogs to Bayern as well. But it will be a good final. Unless Dortmund somehow get through, then it probably won't be a good final. I think they're going to get trucked.
Yeah, all right. Ancelotti, by the way, never lost to Bayern.
Okay. There you go. All right. It's the most exciting 2 minutes in sports. Don't miss the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby at Churchill Downs. Coverage starts at 2:30 p.m. Eastern this Saturday, only on NBC and Peacock.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit, credit to the people.
All right, we will be at the Kentucky Derby at Churchill Downs later this week. But a little quick primer, Drew, on this one. What are you looking for?
Yeah, this is a fascinating race, Jay. as you kind of well know, the Kentucky Derby is a horse race that is contested among three-year-old colts. And every colt turns 3 years old on January 1st. Did you know that? Basically, whatever year you were born, you're a three-year-old on January 1st of that year. And that said, this race is always a fun handicap because we haven't seen every horse race against each other, and it is an enormous field. 20 horse field is about as big a race as you could possibly imagine when you're kind of thinking about horse racing. And it's just the uncertainty of who's going to show up, who's actually the best. Like, it's a very, very fun and exciting handicap. And this year's race is especially interesting, not just because it's 150th running, but you basically have a two-horse co-favorite right now, which is rare. Like, usually there's a race favorite and then a cluster of horses that are considered, the second tier. And then it drifts from there. This is pretty clearly just a concentrated probability on the top two horses. And these two horses have very different running styles. The favorite for the race is a horse called Fierceness. And Fierceness, of course, was the two-year-old champion, which means if you were at the Breeders' Cup in Santa Anita last November, you saw Fierceness win the Breeders' Cup Juvenile as the best two-year-old. And he carried that form into 2024 with an exclamation point. He had one bad race this year, but then otherwise was just untouchable, particularly in his running in the Florida Derby. Florida Derby is a pretty, I guess it's at Gulfstream Park down in Fort Lauderdale. And it's usually a very competitive field. And he just made absolute, eased that race in every regard against a competitive field. And so he is the rightful favorite for what we've seen from him as, elite racer as a two-year-old, and then carrying that through to this year. He's trained by Todd Pletcher, who of course is the most, he has a little bit of a lackluster record at the Kentucky Derby, considering that he has run the most horses of any trainer in the history of the Kentucky Derby. He only has the two wins. And he was, this is a pairing of owner and trainer that was also the team that brought Forte to the Derby last year, who ultimately didn't run. He was the morning line favorite. He was the heavily bet favorite, and then ultimately got scratched with a bruise on his hoof. This is kind of retribution for them. They think this is their chance to get it done together as a team, and they have an outstanding jockey. And the only thing I can kind of point to is that Fierceness got a brutal draw. Brutal. He's in the 17 hole. He's way outside, and he's a fast, he's an early speed horse, right? So he wants to be on the lead. He wants to kind of be in the mix. And I think in order to get onto the lead from 17 there, and just in general with this field having a lot of early speed horses, you could have a very, very quick pace early on if it is a fast track. And that, I think, actually comes to the detriment of Fierceness and why I will not be using him at the top of my superfectas, even though he is the most likely winner. I think there's a chance for a pace meltdown. I think there's a chance Fierceness has difficulty closing, considering he's going to have to use so much energy to get onto the lead. And I think that's going to open up the door for the closers in the field, which is where we get to the second choice, Sierra Leone, trained by Chad Brown. Chad Brown, of course, is mostly well known for training horses who just dominate on the turf. So this is a little bit of an outlier that he has one of the better horses for dirt track racing. And but sure enough, Sierra Leone has had a marvelous run up through 2024 in particular. And, you know, a couple of performances that really stand out. But Sierra Leone, for my money, is more of a closer. Like, he wants to come off the pace and he wants to close with an with authority. And I think actually the race sets up fairly well for him to do that. I just don't know if he is the best closer in the race, because there are a number of other, what you would call stalkers or closers, who have kind of elite late speed, who have been training very well and who are drawn into some good spots in the post positioning. Sierra Leone is drawn into two. That's also bad. So you have this funny situation here where, you know, your two clear best horses are in miserable, slots in terms of getting to where they want to be on the track for their ideal type of race. And so I think that does open up the door for a bigger number to hit the board here. I know 2024 has been the year of the chalk, and I could ultimately end up eating these words if this is just a Fierceness wire to wire. But I like a lot of bunch of these horses in the 10 to 20 to 1 range. And I think realistically finding one that's going to benefit from potentially a fast early pace and is going to be in decent position to take advantage of that is the name of finding a winner in this year's race. And the horse that really stands out to me to do that is Honor Marie at 20 to 1. Right now, that's the only horse I have action on in this race. Been training, has won at Churchill Downs before on this dirt track, and has just in general the exact right style of running, I think, to be able to steal this one with the right trip. So there are a number of other horses that we are going to evaluate as we go through this week preparing for the Derby. But the seven horse Honor Marie, I think, is ultimately going to be where my heart lies here. The only other kind of buzzy horses to note, Catching Freedom, of course, is trained by Brad Cox, who is kind of long overdue from winning a Derby, got a decent draw in the four. That's your third choice right now. And then the Japanese import, Forever Young, was kind of the wise guy horse coming into this week, and ultimately has not been training very well, and I think it's going to be a toss.
Okay, well, we will evaluate the Kentucky Derby as we go later in the week, and as we are there on Thursday from Churchill Downs. But we're done for now. Don't forget to check out NBCSports.com for more information to help you with your wagers. Thanks to those watching on the NBC Sports YouTube channel. And if you're listening to us in podcast form, don't forget to rate and subscribe. Also a reminder to find all your favorite NBC Sports shows on Amazon Music. Just head to amazon.com/NBCSports. From Jay Croucher and Drew Dinsick, we'll see you tomorrow.
Buying a Master Mechanics tool set usually means high prices, higher interest rates, and who knows how many years of monthly payments. But at GearWrench, we don't believe that your tools should take years and years to pay for. So check out Mega Mod Master Sets, the Master Mechanics tool sets that deliver pro-quality tools, organized storage solutions, an easy-to-use lifetime warranty, and much, much more. All for thousands less than you'd expect. So don't wait. Explore the sets and check availability now. Only at GearWrench.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.